Good afternoon, fellow humans of this planetary realm. This oblate spheroid, like a giant pear drifting through space, a lot like Uncle Dan. I'm just a glumbus. I'm getting older, people. And as you get older, you start to melt. Your insides melt out of you. Every day you wake up to another surprise in the toilet. Anyways, it's Sunday. I did not go to church. I was a bad, bad boy today. I didn't go to church, but instead I drank beer. I hung out with Leviathan, the demon of every human desire that pulls us away from Christ, but I am not perfect. Did I tell you guys, when you started listening to me, I am not perfect. My name is Dan, and I live in Little Saigon, and I am a very flawed creature. Anyways, first topic has to be the incident in Saudi Arabia. Before we go too deep into the implications of a theater-wide war in the Persian Gulf involving Iran and other parties, which looks possible, I'd like to read a quote from Donald Trump. Now, this quote is from today. I think this is Eastern Standard Time, roughly around 4 o'clock, so... yeah, that would have been a couple hours ago. So this is the President of the United States. I'm going to sound more serious as I read his tweet. Saudi Arabia oil supply was attacked. There is reason to believe that we know the culprit and are locked and loaded depending upon verification. But are waiting to hear from the kingdom as to who they believe was the cause of the attack and under what terms we would proceed. I'll read this again in a normal way so those of you out there can listen. Saudi Arabia oil supply was attacked. There is reason to believe that we know the culprit, are locked and loaded depending on verification, but are waiting to hear from the kingdom as to who they believe was the cause of this attack. And under what terms we would proceed. So basically, the president is saying we know who did it, but it'll be great once we get all of our notes right. You know, the CIA has to get all the notes right. Everybody has to have the right script. If you want to understand the story, if you want to understand the plot, if you want the characters to be interesting, everybody has to be on the same script. I mean, everyone loves improv, but when it comes to this kind of shit, improv doesn't cut it. And yes, end is yes and dead. Yeah, there is no yes end. There is no improv to this. Saudi Arabia will likely, and I believe that this is nearly certain, but let's give it a probability of 80%. That gives us some wiggle room. Saudi Arabia will likely come out and say that they've found evidence that Houthi rebels from Yemen were given, supplied Iranian drones, and that the drones themselves were flown by Iranian Hezbollah or Iranian National Radical Revolutionary Guard, and it was regular troops from Iran or Iran, as Rian would say, or Rian. Yeah, this Rian guy was a person I knew at Willy Wonka's. He would say, it's not Iran, Dan, it's Iran. And that's probably correct. But everybody says Iran. Actually, I didn't. I walked today. I didn't walk much, though. So, here's the deal, folks. They're going to come out. They're going to say Houthi rebels were confirmed doing it, 100%. The drone was flown from Yemen. The drone was supplied by Iran. Iran Revolutionary Guard were probably the ones who piloted it. And we will send an airstrike at Iran. This is going to be the casus belli. This is the justification. This is the German troops dressing up like Polish troops in 1939 to make it look like, holy shit, Poland is invading Germany. Yeah. This is bullshit. But most of you are going to get suckered into this. Maybe even almost all of you. I mean, I don't know. I think the people that listen to my podcast, if you listen to more than one, if you actually keep listening after 5 minutes, even if you disagree with me, I think a lot of you guys can grok this out. And yeah, that's a reference to a book by Heinlein, What Stranger in a Strange Land. What would the world look like to a Martian who's been away for 300 years? Yeah, anyways. You guys can grok this out. You must know this is bullshit. And here's another thing, too. This helps the price of oil. I don't know how much you all know about the fancy. Here's a nice, polite way of describing the financing behind the fracking miracle. You know the miracle of breaking big rocks into little rocks? Kind of sounds like prison to me. But yeah, the fracking miracle is buttressed, and that's a nice word. It is buttressed by a lot of really fancy accounting and a lot of really fancy financing. And that's a really nice way of saying a lot of junk bonds and default swaps and really, really toxic financial contracts. At $100 a barrel, even if the money gets debased, and yeah, guys, I hate to break it to you, but it's already been debased. You've already been suckered. There's plenty of inflation. The inflation that's about to flood your world is the kind they can't fucking hide. Yeah, they won't be able to hide this kind of inflation. There's only so much water you can add to a bottle of whiskey. You can only make the little cardboard, you know, circle insert in the toilet roll so fucking big. Eventually people say, you know, this Charmin Ultra, it's really, really nice. I wish I would get more than 6 sheets per roll. So yeah, this is a situation where it will begin as an airstrike. But the problem is it can't end there. And the other thing is this. We really don't know a whole bunch about what Iran or Iran is capable of. If you're assuming that a war with Iran would be equivalent to a war with Iraq or Iraq or whatever, I think you're fooling yourself. And plus, remember this. The pushover of 2003, we're still dealing with that mess today. We still have one of the largest embassies, or arguably, small countries ever built in Baghdad. We are in that country. We have occupied that country. Now, of course, the parliament of Iraq would like to kick us out, and that adds to the drama, folks. You know, when I said there's no improv, let me correct myself. Amongst the core players, there is no improv. But sometimes there are these auxiliary players. And the parliament of Iraq might very well be an auxiliary player. They may not be on script. So this scenario could play out in a lot of really terrible ways. One way would be we bomb Iran or Iran, and Iraq says, get the fuck out. And then we say no. And then that's basically Iraq War Part 2. And folks, I gotta tell you, if you think that it's gonna be easier to subdue the Iraqi people at this point, given all the shit we put them through, if you think you're gonna find more people that wanna participate in this, one of those things that you often may not think about, if I can go off on a little tangent, is why has there been this extremely radical push for really smart robots? Why? I mean, why are we in such a fucking hurry? Well, it's not that complicated. The people in charge are scared shitless. They really are. And these little strategies, these little games are part of the picture of being scared shitless. They have to do something about us, and one way to deal with a lot of people who might cause problems is war. Kills a lot of people, gets rid of a lot of people, and people don't ask a lot of questions because it comes down to that patriotism. And it's funny, I thought I grew up in a free country, so being patriotic in this country is mostly about practicing and defending freedom. I don't know why anybody thinks what we're doing is about that. It's not. It's about empire. And I don't think I really grew up in a free country. I think that was make-believe. So the Saudi thing is bad, and it's but it could have been worse. It does represent an escalation, which means in terms of behavior, in terms of game theory, at least there appears to be some rationality on the part of the fuckers running the world, even if it is the rationality of Ted Bundy. But here's the deal, folks. The reason why this is kind of smart isn't just because it gives a pretext for war, but like I said, it potentially saves a lot of fucking bad financial deals in the oil patch. So yeah, this has to do with oil. It's not just about losing some supply from Saudi Arabia. It's about basically increasing the value of supply of frankly shittier oil here at home. And when I say shittier, you can check these facts yourself. But the fact is this, a barrel of our oil, special fracking oil, has 15% less energy than a barrel of conventional oil. Okay, I think it takes more or less, you know, you get like maybe 2 barrels for every 1 barrel used, and that's using the fancy accounting. I think it's pretty close to being a 1-for-1. So we use, for energy-wise, to frack, we're using almost the same amount of energy in real terms that we're getting out of the ground. Not quite. Probably it is 1-to-2. That would be better than total madness. Use a barrel of oil, get 2 barrels. But the fact is, it's not good, folks. And it sure as shit does not work at $50 a barrel. It might work, again, in fancy accounting world, at $100 a barrel. Plus, a big part of our fake economy is about the housing market. And good old Trump, he wants those interest rates at zero again. If he could go lower, he would, and he wants the quantitative easing going again. Here's another plus of the Saudi scenario. It gives him ammunition to go to Powell and say, Powell, you fuck. You needed cover. You wanted cover. I want you to go to zero. I want $1 trillion a month in quantitative easing. And yeah, that would be 4 times, I think, QE3. At least 4 times, roughly. Although there was a lot of shadow bullshit with QE3, too. And when I say QE, you know I mean quantitative easing. The process by which the Federal Reserve buys bonds. So actually, I almost feel like giving props to the CIA. Whichever spook came up with this one, and when I say spook, I'm not using that in racist terms. I'm referring to a spy. Whatever spook or deep state operative at the CIA or the NSA or the DHS or whatever of the 17 intelligence agencies that Hillary Clinton has association with. Whichever jackass came up with this, it's actually kind of brilliant. It didn't kill a ton of people, so it gives you a way to back out of something. Like, if they don't want to go to war with Iran, they don't have to. It's not something that, I mean, probably people died, but again, these are the kinds of situations where that shit will just be said, well, some people died, fine. There's a civil war in Yemen, Saudi Arabia's there, this is going to happen. So it gives a way to back out, but it also does this. It absolutely 100% changes the dynamic of the oil market pretty much instantaneously. It changes the whole dynamic. It isn't just that there's a supply disruption. Now people are going to have a bearish sentiment. So I think ultimately the price of oil goes up. And when I say bearish, I don't mean towards oil. I actually think people will be bullish towards oil. But they're going to have some ugly sentiment. I should say there's going to be some negative sentiments regarding a peaceful situation in the Persian Gulf. And the reason why I said $1 trillion a month in quantitative easing for QE4 or QE to infinity or QEZ, whatever you want to fucking call it a crack-up boom. I think that's what an Austrian would call it. I think it's going to be a trillion, not because it's my magic number, but because I think it was back in 2013 or 2014. And I could have been watching Max Kaiser, but it might have been another program. But I was listening to Dr. Mark Faber. And if you've never heard of Dr. Mark Faber, he's one of these, and I think he's a doctor. I think he has a PhD. But he's one of these guys, kind of a talking head. I think he's more or less on the Austrian side of things. And he commented that if they went to QE4, that they would go to $1 trillion a month in bond purchases. That's a lot, folks. If this is an $18 trillion economy, plus or minus, let's say the GDP of the US is roughly 18 trillion. Perhaps a little more now, but honestly, this math is all fuzzy at this point. If we printed $1 trillion a month, we would be more or less printing 50% of the monthly output of our economy, just making it up, just adding those zeros. So yeah, there's been inflation. And oh, and here's another little secret, a little nugget of truth, but it's not really a nugget. Unless you've been asleep for the last 10 years, you know what I'm about to say. Yeah, unless you've been asleep, you must realize not only has there been inflation, there has been. They've done a really good job of hiding it. Some people call it shrinkflation. I call it downserving. It's like downsizing, but ultimately, they figured out ways to give you less to hide the inflation. But even with that, even with the hiding of the inflation, everybody's pocketbook has been more and more spare. Everyone's debt level's been going up. So here's the other little nugget of truth that we all have to admit to ourselves. And please admit this. If you admit this, you'll realize that what's coming isn't going to be pretty, but it's better to be mentally prepared for it. There was never, ever, ever an economic recovery after the great financial crisis. That was bullshit. Okay? Sometime around 2014, right about the time Obama and the CIA magicked into existence ISIS and started fucking with oil prices and fucking with Russia, okay, right around 2014 when that Pharrell song came out, Happy! Are You Happy? Or 2013, whenever, that horrible song. I think people started, you know, basically getting involved in a kind of, well, frankly, Stockholm syndrome, vis-a-vis the economy, vis-a-vis the people in charge of it. They were being boiled alive. They were being cooked alive by the very culprits that nearly destroyed the economy in 2008. And it's like, well, you know, we can't beat them, so let's just get all happy and start flipping homes again. There was never an economic recovery. It did not happen. Okay? I think, roughly speaking, the average GDP of the whole world economy, okay? Because you kind of got to look, if the globalists, if all you motherfucking Keynesians and all you motherfucking globalists are going to ask me to think globally, then you have to accept your own fucking math. Okay, globalist scum. And here's some of the fucking math. The average GDP in the last 10 years worldwide, I think, has been somewhere between 2 and 2.5%. There is every reason to believe that all of the central banks over the last 10 years have at least printed twice that much in money that never existed before. So in real terms, the world economy has been shrinking by at least 2% every fucking year. Every year for the last 10 years. Not only has it not been growing, folks, it's been shrinking, but it's worse than that. If we did a proper accounting for how the money is spent, if we did a proper accounting of all the debt that we currently own, and that includes public debt, private debt, all the debt, if we did a proper accounting for inflation, which, folks, ever since Alan Greenspan got his greedy little fingers on the economic statistics of Fred and the BLS, he's changed the world. He's convinced us that hamburger is steak. He's convinced us that having two jobs is like two people being employed. His bullshit economics led to that lie. Okay, he may not want to take ownership of it, but that's the truth. The truth is, we don't calculate unemployment any longer the same way either, because he convinced us that if a person's so beaten down by life that they're unable to get a job in a few months, they don't exist any longer. It's like the old Soviet Union. They're an unperson. They don't exist. They're not here. They're not to be counted. But they do end up